Welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And with me today is my friend Matthew Sims. Thanks for coming on the Equipping You in Grace podcast today, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Can you please tell us a bit about your life, marriage, ministry, and some of the current ministry projects you're working on?
Yes, I do lots of writing and editing. Kind of in this season of my life, it seems like more editing than writing these days. I've been married for almost 11 years now. Married to a gal from Kansas named Leanne. I've got three daughters, ranging from 9, 5, and 2. We work for Gospel Center Discipleship as their managing editor, kind of soliciting articles and keeping things on mission for them, and also do work for CBMW for their journal, you know, laying things out there and kind of getting it ready for publication as well. And then kind of on the side in the spare time, I've got projects for myself that I kind of work on. The We Believe book was the latest one of those. So that's kind of what I'm doing these days.
Awesome. Would you please tell us a bit about your book, We Believe, Creeds, Confessions, and Catechisms for Worship, why you wrote it and how you hope it's received?
You know, as talking about the three kids, you know, kind of as the years have gone by and kind of trying to figure out what works great for my family and how to disciple my kids and how to kind of teach them what scripture means and what the gospel is and all these things, I've, you know, just tried out a lot of different resources. And, you know, to me, I haven't found anything better than kind of the time-tested confessions and catechisms and creeds. I just think there's a lasting power to them. You know, they consolidate truth in a way that's really difficult to do. I just never found anything that was kind of that had everything I wanted all in one place. Probably the last 18 months to 2 years have been kind of tossing around, putting something together. And then the guy I do a lot of work with, Joshua Torrey, who also wrote the foreword for the book, kind of pushed me towards really getting things done. And it kind of evolved along the way. Originally, I was just going to use it, kind of collect the Reform confessions and catechisms. But kind of as I thought about it, you know, I ended up adding the Anglican stuff and the Lutheran stuff. And that kind of ended up being where everything landed at the end of the day. And, you know, really, it's just to hopefully have something that, you know, looks nice, that has kind of all the resources that a confessional Protestant would want. You know, I hope it really serves people in two ways. One is to be better informed about brothers and sisters in Christ and different traditions. I know even me, as I was kind of putting it together, it was really interesting and enlightening to kind of see what actually the confessions for traditions that I was less familiar with, like the Anglicans and the Lutherans, what they actually believe, and being able to kind of understand that a little bit better. And then also hopefully and ultimately just a resource for kind of your average Christians to use and to better understand what scripture teaches through these resources to help them to be able to disciple, you know, whether it's children or in a marital relationship or just friends, just having those tools readily in hand, all in one place, hopefully easy to use.
Wonderful. Why are the creeds, confessions, and catechisms essential to understanding the Christian faith?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I think it's always important to kind of know where you've come from. So I think a lot of the issues that we see the church facing today are rooted in kind of that lack of knowledge. You know, we don't understand where the church has been, what the church has faced, you know, and a lot of the modern heresies and heterodox teachings that we're battling today are things that the church has battled and conclusively decided against in the past. And so, you know, the creeds, confessions, and catechisms are great resources to kind of know that history, but not just to know it like a history book, but to kind of have a living understanding of those things, because it's not just something that you know with the creeds, you're confessing what you believe with, you know, the Christians in the past who have, you know, some given their lives to have these documents. And so I think, you know, that should be an essential part of your faith. And I also think there's humility in returning to something that's so old with such a great tradition. I mean, you know, one of the big things facing the church is just kind of rampant individualism. So we have to hold intention, you know, our priesthood as believers, but also kind of the humility to hold fast these truths that have always been taught. You know, our priesthood as believers doesn't give us the right to just interpret the Bible as we like. And so the, you know, the creeds and confessions and catechisms are kind of like a rock that we can kind of test what we're, how we're interpreting the Bible. And, you know, even in doing that, we kind of humbly acknowledge that these documents aren't scripture, you know, they're written by men. So, you know, there's nothing out there that's going to be perfect, but they can still be very valuable resources. And again, they're time tested. So, you know, for the creeds, especially, these are documents that thousands of years of Christians have confessed together and found to be reliable descriptions of what the gospel is and what kind of basic tenets of the faith are. And so if you want to know, you know, what Christians for the last 1,000 years have believed, there's no better, you know, resource than, you know, the Nicene Creed. You know, you can read that, short, simple, sweet, to the point, and, you know, that's your fundamental understanding of what Christianity has confessed over the last millennium or so.
Why do you think the creeds, confessions, and catechisms are so neglected in modern approaches to discipleship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, if you look at church history, it seems kind of cyclical. I mean, it kind of goes in seasons. You know, they'll be kind of rise from the ashes. You know, you see in the Reformation kind of this enlightening that, hey, we're, you know, missing out, and the reformers go back to the creeds and, you know, realize, hey, what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching doesn't line up with what we've confessed, and so we need this reformation. And we've even seen kind of a resurgence in that over the last decade or so in the Reformed tradition. But I think it's just kind of, you know, ultimately it's, you know, our sin nature, just, you know, we want to be independent. We want to be in control. We don't want to admit that we need help. You know, we want to decide things for ourselves. We don't like people telling us what to do, or, you know, we kind of strife under authority. And I think you see that today. And again, kind of all throughout church history, just people, you know, not wanting to kind of submit to the church, submit to God's word, you know, submit to what's been confessed. And it's, you know, especially in our age, it's kind of, it's heightened. I mean, you have, again, just rampant individualism throughout the church. I mean, we want to be in control of our own destiny. We want to self-identify as whatever we want. The creeds, confessions, and catechisms, I mean, they just kind the legs out of that. You know, it's not how you identify yourself, it's how God identifies you. Honestly, I think that's more freeing. I mean, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter what other people say about you, it doesn't matter what you believe about yourself, it's what God says is true about you. And so there's kind of a beauty that we miss out on when we don't hold fast to these truths.
That's a great point. How can pastors and ministry leaders help people understand the creeds, confessions, and catechism and their importance, you know, in their ministries?
Yeah, I mentioned in the introduction an interesting way my parents' church kind of incorporate catechisms in their ministry. They kind of design their own curriculum. So they're, you know, instead of having like an Awanas or whatnot for their kids, you know, they've got a book that kind of goes through, and that's what they use for their catechisms. But not only that, you know, it's in their Sunday bulletin. It's something that the parents are a part of as well. And so I think, you know, the easiest answer is just incorporating it into your ministry. I mean, there's not a silver bullet way to do that, but, you know, I think there's a variety of ways, you know, you could, you know, design a curriculum for the kids like this one church does, or you can, at my church, not every Sunday, but pretty regularly, we confess the Nicene Creed together. I know several Presbyterian churches where I'm at have Sunday school classes where they'll go through the confessions or catechisms. And I think when the church does that, and when people and families see that these documents are kind of part of our living faith and are essential for our everyday faith in exploring what the gospel means for us today, you know, they'll start to incorporate it into their families and into their kind of daily walks as well. So I think, you know, it starts with the church and, you know, just making it an essential part of our ministry. And from there, I think it'll trickle down into the families, and hopefully the end result will be, you know, people who believe the gospel strongly, who have conviction, you know, kindness, and love one another, and are acting that out on mission. And that's kind of where I end up at the end of the book, is just, you know, encouraging people just not to make this something that they do in rote, and just, you know, not letting it kind of take hold of their hearts, really change the way that they interact with each other. You know, at the end of the day, if we return to these documents but don't love each other, show that love in a way that's tangible, then, you know, we have wisdom, but we don't have love, which Paul talks about in Corinthians. So we don't want to end up there. But on the other hand, we want that kind of strong, robust foundation that the creeds, confessions, and catechisms give us.
What were a few of your takeaways from your reading of the creeds and the confessions and catechisms as you prepared for the release of this book?
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of hit on one of them. It's just kind of a better understanding of my brothers and sisters from other traditions. And also, I think just a humility as I look at my own life and my own family, you know, what I'm trying to do in serving the church. I mean, I think it's easy to give mouth service to these things, and it's hard to put them into practice. So I think, you know, offering this as a resource to other people, it really is a humbling and a encouraging thing to kind of keep on using them in my own family, and just making sure that I'm, you know, making them essential to my own life. So, you know, those were two things that just really struck me, just to kind of keep on and don't be discouraged, direction in my own use of these resources to mature myself into the image of Christ and for my children. Something interestingly that Josh and I both touched on is, you know, with them lost grandparents. So, you know, it's interesting. You don't really think about how a confession or catechism might be helpful in that situation. It just doesn't. It wouldn't be the first thing that strikes me. But after using it in our families, and both of us had very similar experiences in the way that our kids interacted with this kind of loss, kind of a first loss of someone that they really cared about and loved, and how the, you know, the catechisms, the questions that we've asked them and the answers that they've given really, unbeknownst to us, had prepared them for, you know, experiencing this loss of a loved one and death. So I think there's a real kind of buttress available with these documents, and it's easy to lose sight of, or maybe feel like, hey, this isn't working, or it's not doing anything, or I'm not seeing the results that I'm wanting to see. But, you know, putting it together just constantly reminded me that, you know, they're helpful and they're good, and just to keep on keeping on.
That's good stuff, man. How does reading the creeds, confessions, and catechisms help the average Christian in the midst of their everyday life as they seek to live on mission for the Lord? I know you're kind of touching on that, but maybe you could expand some more on that.
You know, I think in our culture now, we're to the point where many people want to love others, but they want to do so without being grounded in truth. At the end of the day, that ends up looking like whatever I feel like love might look like. And that might sound good, but at the end of the day, and in light of eternity, I think that's infinitely bad. I think we have to love others in a way that sees them as people made in the image of God, and in a way that pushes them towards loving God in a way that pleases Him. So we, you know, we can't decide for ourselves how we want to love God. He decides that. You know, the creeds and confessions and catechisms teach us to love God rightly, how He wants us to love each other rightly. You know, when we hold that tension, and really maybe there's no tension, but when we hold truth and love together and then live that out in our daily lives as we love one another, you know, I think that's what ultimately is going to give God the most glory. If we try to, again, kind of what I was talking about, have the head knowledge but not have the heart. You know, scripture tells us, again, Paul, that that's, you know, that's bad. If you know everything and you can speak in the tongues of angels, but you've lost love, you have nothing. But on the other hand, if you have kind of a mushy love that's not really love at all, and there's no strong foundation, and Christ isn't at the center of that, you've also lost. So I think the, you know, the creeds and confessions and catechisms help us to hold both in both hands and not forget that we must love others in the way that God commands us and prescribes for us. You know, that really is the richest and deepest and the only lasting kind of love that matters. If we try to go out on mission, but we're making it our own mission and it's not God's mission, then it's not really, you know, then we're not really fulfilling His mission for us. We're doing our own thing. You know, these documents are kind of our compass as we navigate the stormy waters of our culture, and we can use them as kind of a sounding board. Again, humbly, and in the context of a local church, you know, they're still infinitely valuable in that regard, I think.
Yeah, that's great stuff, man. So tell us a little bit about Grace for Sinners Books, why you started, and what kinds of books you're looking to publish.
So yeah, I mean, really, it just was ultimately started to hopefully serve the church and to give glory to God and to kind of point people to a Christianity rooted in confessionalism. You know, most of the stuff, you know, I'm an average guy trying to use the gifts that God have given me to, again, serve the church. And so most of our books are kind of written with that, and kind of for your average people on the front lines in their daily lives looking to love God more. You know, so usually they're, you know, smaller books, you know, written in language that your ordinary person can understand, but hopefully really theologically rich and kind of rooted in the gospel. So yeah, I mean, we're not trying to be any other publisher or be in competition with anybody. We're just trying to offer really basic resources for people to grow in their love for God and to give Him glory. Again, just hopefully serve the church in a way, and it comes alongside, again, church. I mean, people need to be in church and under authority of the church and having that as their primary source of teaching. But there's always, I think, room for resources along the way to kind of push people closer and to drive people to Christ. So hopefully, you know, I see my service of the church as, you know, coming alongside. I'd hate for people to use my books or our resources at Grace for Sinners as their primary growth in Christ. You know, I want that to be the local church. And then again, hopefully we can come alongside and offer, you know, encouragement and admonition and help along the way. Is that already happening in the local church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. What future writing projects do you want to work on?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, I'm always someone who's got lots of ideas. You know, right now, again, I'm kind of at a point where I'm doing lots more editing than writing, but I do have several ideas I'm kind of pondering on and hopefully we'll get to. I've written a lot about depression at my blog, and so I've got already lots of resources there and have talked to some other people about that. And so in the future, I'd like to kind of gather that and maybe clarify and hone in on some things, again, just kind of for your average person in the pew who might be struggling with depression. Also, I've written a lot about stories, so I'd love to write something that kind of looks at the story of the Bible and also encourages people to see understanding the Bible as a story as kind of essential for their growth in Christ. And then the last one, which is probably the one that's going to happen soonest, a pastor friend of mine, Brad Andrews, and I are going to pitch a book to GCD, which is where I'm the managing editor, and look at kind of like your cultural Christianity cliches and trying to understand those in the context of our discipleship. Do they hurt our discipleship? Do they help our discipleship? You know, maybe, you know, do they do both at the same time? So that'll be probably the next thing that gets done, just because it's a collaborative project. But yeah, those are kind of what's on the plate. And also, on a non-theological note, talking with my mom about putting together a cookbook. We like to cook and eat and fellowship and have a good time as a family around the table. We do it every Sunday. We've been talking over the last year about kind of putting together some old family recipes and doing that. So on a completely unrelated note to church and ministry and the gospel, that's kind of been roasting in the oven for a while as well. So
yeah, that's cool, man. I'm excited about all of those projects and look forward to reading them.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll serve people well and give glory to God.
Do you have any final thoughts you want to share about We Believe?
You know, we've talked about a lot, but you know, whether you pick up We Believe or, you know, find something else, I would just encourage people to kind of root themselves in the longstanding faith of the church. You know, don't go it alone. Don't think you can be a lone wolf and honor God and please him in the way that he wants to be honored. You know, attach yourself to other people. You know your faith tradition. You know, just let the creeds, confessions, and catechisms help you navigate your daily Christian life. I think if you do that, you know, if you're also rooted in scripture as your final authority, you'll end up with a much richer experience in your Christian life and hopefully be a more mature disciple and hopefully be able to make more disciples as you mature yourself. So there's lots of great resources and apps and things where you can get these documents. And so I just encourage you, however you do that, do it and make it a part of your everyday life.
Well, Matt, hey, I want to thank you first for your friendship. I really appreciate it. And also for your work at Gospel Center Discipleship, Grace for Sinners Books, and all the other things that you're doing at JBMW. You know, thanks for your hard work for the kingdom, brother.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me on. It was great talking.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Equipping You in Grace. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating on iTunes and share it across your social media outlets. I want to thank you once again for listening to this episode. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.